I said, is that much better?
Much better. Jazakallah khair.
Huh?
Yes, much better. Jazakallah khair.
Okay. I was saying that I cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough that He allowed us to meet with each other. First, to be able to travel to meet you in your city, which is something I will be doing soon, inshallah, in Chicago, February 13th and 14th and 15th, then the 20th and 21st, 22nd in Chicago, then after that in Ottawa, the weekend 27th, 28th, and basically 1st of March. Then after that, I will also be joining my brothers in Michigan in Friday the 6th and the 7th and the 8th of March and the 13th and the 14th and the 15th. And guess what? These three cities I never been before. That's my first time to visit them to basically have a course on these cities. I've been to these cities before as cities, but never been to them as a Maghrib instructor or to have a Maghrib class, which is totally different experience. Totally different experience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward those wonderful brothers and sisters who really work hard to make these classes take place and to facilitate it for us. This course, Rays of Faith, yes, it is my first course with Al-Maghrib, and it is one of the most beloved course to my heart I ever taught in my whole entire life, my whole entire career in teaching theology and Islamic studies, which is, alhamdulillah, it is going to be very soon, 20 years almost, if it's not even already past that number. But anyway, why? Because, first of all, let's talk about Aqidah, which is my joy, my specialty, my favorite topic. And it's the favorite topic of any Muslim, because Aqidah, it's the foundation that all our iman based on it. It is all our action based on this Aqidah. And as much as our belief, our faith, solid, strong, pure, as much as you can go up high to the sky, rise in the sky, and as much as your foundations are limited, weak, not pure, not strong, you can't go very far away from the foundation, because you always have this shaky foundation. That's why it's very important for us to make sure that our faith, our iman, will established in the heart. That's exactly what Aisha radiallahu anha, how Aisha radiallahu anha described the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have raised them, have prepared them to be the best generation ever by what? That the first thing was revealed from the Quran is the verses which establishing the aqidah, the faith in the heart. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on revealed the verses which is talking about rulings, do and don't, they were the first to respond. Full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, Rays of Faith. First of all, Rays of Faith, it is part of our curriculum when it comes to Islamic theology. We generally base our curriculum in a very famous hadith, most of you memorize or at least come across once, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once visited by Jibreel, who came in the shape of a man, entered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's gathering, and he went straight toward the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. He said, while his knees touching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's knees. And this man put his hand on his thigh. Some scholars said in his own thigh or on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's thigh. and he asked the Prophet some questions. One of the questions that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Tell me, ya Muhammad, tell me about Iman." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "It is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and to believe in divine destiny, al-qadr, both the good and the evil of it." Then the man said, "What? Sadaqt, you have spoken rightly." And just, by the way, highly recommend you to purchase or to have a copy from the explanation of this hadith, which is done by Sheikh Jamal Zarabozo, an explanation to the 40 hadith in Nawiyah. He did really a wonderful job. This hadith, we took it as the base for our curriculum. That's why the first two courses in Al-Maghrib, which is taught by my brother, my dear brother, respected Sheikh Yasser, Qadi, light of guidance and light upon light, covering the first part of Iman, which is believing in Allah. Yes, I know maybe it's not sounds very equal, but guess what? Rays of Faith will cover the rest of the hadith. When I first was giving that responsibility, I said to myself, isn't that a lot? But I said, no. You know what? I think I'm going to make this 2 weekends full of knowledge, full of excitement, full of information, full of beneficial knowledge, that it will, first of all, my first goal in this class, that I make sure that after I walk out of every session, or at least in the end of every day, that I'm sure that my heart and your hearts are going closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our iman elevated one level higher and coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, that everybody will learn something new. And I always say that in this course. I said, I don't care how many courses in Aqidah you took before. I don't care how many books that you have read about these subjects before. What I promise you, what I pledge to you, that I will make sure that you will not walk out of my class, any chapter that I'll be teaching, unless I'm teaching you something new, and reviewing with you, and reintroduce to you the ilm al-aqidah, the subject in al-aqidah, in a very exciting format. So basically, we start the class by talking about the word of the unseen, because all this is part of the word of the unseen. And as I always say, you know the saying, seeing is believing. I really believe from the bottom of my heart that believing in the unseen is the real faith. Is the real faith. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear in the beginning of the Quran, when Allah described the believer in the beginning, in the entry of Surah Al-Baqarah, that they believe in Al-Ghayb. They believe in the unseen. That's one of the first descriptions, first important message that we get when we open the first page in the Quran, that the believers believe in Al-Ghayb, believe in the unseen. So, basically, we will, inshallah, in this course, we'll be talking about angels, believing in angels, Al-Mala'ika. What are the angels? And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them? What's the wisdom behind creating the angels? What is exactly their role in life? We'll come across what Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, which is, can you imagine how many commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes? Every second, every minute, every hour that have been done in this world. He said all His commands, the whole entire universe, the system of this universe basically will be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command, which it will be carried by His angels, which it will be carried by His angels. We're responsible of making this universe go in this system. What that exactly mean, what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said? What kind of role angels play in this universe? And what I care about the most in our life. Because you know what? I really want to concentrate on what I said in the earlier, a beneficial knowledge. You know, the theoretical knowledge. Okay, maybe we come to know there is an angel who, for example, pushing the sun or making sure that the sun goes in its orbit and it doesn't leave. But how is it going to benefit me personally? What I really care about this course, that what kind of role angels can play in your life? What kind of impact that they can have in your life? What you can benefit from studying their life, or, I mean, studying this concept of or the nature of the angels and whatever came in Quran and Sunnah about them. We'll talk about some of these misconceptions that people have about angels, these different views of different people about how they view angels, how they basically think the nature of the angels, because this is something from the unseen. And if you don't have the right tool, you will be just guessing. وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. That they are guessing, and their guessing is like lying, because you're talking about something you have no knowledge of, and you have no way to guess it right even. That's why if you guess, it's just like lying. Then we'll talk about jinn. You might say, why would you talk about jinn? It's not a pillar of iman. Yes, I'm not talking about the pillars of iman here, as much as I'm talking about theology, talking about aqidah, I'm talking about the issue that part of the books of theology and belief in general. And I thought it will be very relative to talk about jinn, because a lot of people thought jinn are angels, like Christians, for example. They couldn't make that distinguish between jinn and angels. Even the so many of the kuffar said that angels are jinn. وَجَعَلُوا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجِنَّةِ نَسَبًا. The jinnah here, it means angels, that they think that they are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people have mixed between, or couldn't tell the difference between angels and jinn. So I made that, I brought this subject to make this very clear, how Allah guided Muslims to be able to differentiate between angels and jinn. And also, because I believe it's part of the word of the unseen, of the unseen. And you can see the totally opposite picture of a shayateen, which is part of the jinn, which is the head of them, Iblis, the father of all sins, and the difference between them and these pure creations, which is the angel. I know jinn is a very exciting topic. I always try to put it under control. So, because you can't spend the whole entire weekend talking about jinn and jinn story and what happened to me personally. It's all a personal experience, basically, stories and experiments, things I have witnessed in my life and related to this topic. I usually share some of it with my student. But really, there is just more than the stories. It is the theological part of it, the ilm part of it. Talking about the nature of the jinn, the possession, and which is very practical issues. A lot of people think, oh, I'm possessed, he's possessed, she's possessed, magic, I have something on me. How can you tell? How can you tell that somebody possessed or not? If it ever happened, how can you deal with it? If it happened to you, happened to somebody that you know, we'll talk about that as well. We'll talk about Shaytan as the father of all jinn and the enemy of mankind. And after that, we will go to next talk about the books that Allah SWT revealed. What are our positions from the books of the people of the book? And we'll talk about Al-Quran, a special talk about Al-Quran as the final and the last book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent down to humanity. Then after that will come one of my, actually my favorite parts of the course, which is talk about the messengers. Especially talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's just amazing. Every time, you know, I know what I'm going to say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but every time I say it, it has just its own taste, subhanAllah. You never get overboard with talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by sharing with you one of the most important points for us as theologians, which is how can we prove the Prophet ﷺ's prophethood? How can I prove to somebody that Muhammad ﷺ was a messenger of Allah? You know, somebody never saw the Prophet ﷺ. He doesn't believe in hadith and sunnah. How can he prove to him that the Prophet ﷺ is the prophet? You know, logically, I think it's very easy to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, or you can have a debate over the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But any farther step you go, you need the Quran and Sunnah if you want to tell me what's the name of this God, what's the nature of this God, what kind of religion he wants us to follow. In order for you to convince me with these points, you need to prove to me first that this is the messenger of Allah. So if I agree in that, whatever this messenger say, whatever I agree and I can accept that this man have received revelation from Allah, everything else will be possible. We'll talk a lot of details related to general issue related to prophets and messengers. Talking about the definition. Is there a difference between prophets and messengers? Why Allah sent messengers, the benefit of the messengers and prophets, the miracles of the prophets and the messengers, the special quality of the messengers and the prophets. I will talk about also specifically about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we talked specifically about Al-Quran because he's the last and final messenger. We'll also talk about what nullifiers the belief in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What can nullify our belief in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we'll be aware of it. Then talk about Al-Qadr, which is usually the half of messengers and Al-Qadr. No, yani even Al-Qadr will be basically, all this will be done the first weekend. Then next weekend we talk about whatever left from Al-Qadr, half of the subject of Al-Qadr, and the Day of Judgment. In Al-Qadr, it's short and sweet. It is not complicated as people think. I put it in 9 principles. Each one of them lead to the next. The moment you understand the concept of these 9 principles, the whole issue of Al-Qadr will be very easy. The big questions everybody asking me about, and everybody is scared about asking himself those questions, the issue of the free will, there is a contradiction between being free to do whatever you want and the predestiny. Usually I teach this topic and I finish. The students would say, that's it? I said, yeah. He said, no, it has to be more complicated than that. I said, it's not. It's just, that's it. Huh. We thought it's so complicated now. That's very simple. He says, I know. It just, whenever you set your mind in a certain way to think, to look at the concept of Al-Qadr, that's what's going to make you be able to understand it. And it's a very simple, basically, a process, inshallah, we're going to follow. It's not a hard subject. It's not a confusing subject. It's a subject that, in my opinion, should move your iman. You know what? I'll tell you the truth. Every time I think about Qadr, every time I teach this course, just my love, my trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes so high. So high. Every time I study the concept of Qadr, I know, I come to realize and I come to think about more and more how subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just, the most wise, the most capable, the most knowledgeable, and the Lord of the whole universe and all creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What benefits we got from studying Al-Qadr. We will mention, but not in details, about the different sects, which is going to stray in this area. But we don't go in details usually when we talk about other than Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, because that's my focus point. It's the Muslims and the mainstream Muslims, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then the last, as we say, Khitamuha Misk, talking about the Day of Judgment. I'll tell you the truth. I've been teaching about the Day of Judgment for the longest time of my life. Alhamdulillah. When I decided to prepare for this course, I said to myself, you know what, I need to look into this subject and come up with two things. One, I want to make sure that anybody attending this class, he or she will feel that they're going in a journey, that they can picture it, they can go through it. Basically, you can see the angels when they're coming to take the soul, where the soul will go after death. Then, okay, I can see the soul going to where it will be. Then, what about the body? Where it will go? You can see it taking to the grave, and I want everybody in the class to imagine that, to see that. What about the grave? What happened in the grave? What kind of questions you got in the grave? Is everybody will be asked in the grave, or only certain people will be questioned in their graves? What about children? What about people insane? I want you to see the picture in the, as if you're really walking into cemetery, graveyard, versus all kind of people. What about the believers? What about the sinners? What about the disbelievers? How's it going to work? Is it going to basically enjoy and rewarded and or punished, a'udhu billah, until the Day of Judgment? Stop? Is the soul also stuck inside the grave? Or how's that happen exactly? You can see that. Then you see them coming out of their grave when the trumpet will be blown. Walking into the land of resurrection, where all creation gathered. Where all creation gathered. Walking into these groves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered them. How people will be resurrected? In groves, but what's the situation of those people? How they look like? There is people who will be in a different shapes, different formats. Also, people will be, certain people will be gathered together, will be treated different than others, and there's a lot of details about that. What's going to happen exactly? Is it the books going to be given? Is it the balance, the mizan, scale, and our deed will be weighted in it? And how this is going to happen? How exactly our deed will be weighted in the scale on the Day of Judgment? And what's the bridge? And you know what? We heard also that there is a two bridge in the Day of Judgment. The one over the hellfire, then an arch bridge before entering Jannah. What's the point from that? And talking about how people will cross al-Sirat, how Jahannam will be brought, how Jannah will be brought near to the believer if they can see it. The people of Al-A'raf, who are they? You know what? I'm going to walk you through all that with your hand, taking you to the gates of Jannah, and the moment I entered you, Jannah, I will leave you there to enjoy it. And that's where my class basically ends. You know what, I just can't wait to be, inshallah, next week to come, to start the real thing, inshallah, in Chicago, then Ottawa, then bi'idhnillah ta'ala in Michigan. That's basically what you're going to study in this class. If there is anything left I would like to say, you know, you see, we have here, six chapters we're going to study. I have also made one of my goals to make sure that my students will be exposed to different methods of information. I remember that. Like, for example, when you talk about angels, the books, it's a straightforward information, okay? When it comes to Al-Qadr, I will make sure that I can develop in my students the ability of analyzing things, connecting between multiple points to come to a conclusion. That's why I made it in a way, it's nine principles, each one lead to the next. See, you develop that skill in you, and that's what you're going to learn beside the information. Also, when it comes to the messengers, it will develop in you as a student of knowledge the sense of gathering all the collective opinions and basically examining these opinions and the ability to analyze the text, especially if there is some looks like contradicting each other's, or how can you come to the right conclusion from seeing the difference, understanding of the scholars to this text. This is something you'll see it clearly when you talk about the messengers. When it comes to the Day of Judgment, totally different also style, which is the style of breaking the details to details, if this makes sense. You know, so many details, small details, and that will teach the student of knowledge how really that he or she can see that there are so many details in each subject in Sharia that you can find if you dig deep and you basically make your research, if you're a serious researcher, and you will find a lot of details about subject you thought it's obvious, but it's in reality, it's not. Then we'll teach you how can you deal with these details, how you can put these details together to make out of them big picture. How can you respect these differences of opinions among the scholars, even in matters of aqidah, as we will see, insha'Allah ta'ala. So that's another part of the class, which is, in my opinion, it's not in any way less important than the information itself, the iman boost that you get, because that's also a methodology that you will learn and you will carry with you in the rest of your life, insha'Allah ta'ala. I hope this give you a clear picture of what this course is going to be about.
Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykhna, for that beautiful description. I know that you have two more parts of your discussion tonight, but I wanted to share, Shaykh, some of the testimonials, as well as give one of my own with regards to this class. The first one you can see up on the screen is from Danish in Memphis, Tennessee. He said that this class is unbelievable. It's already started as soon as the first day it starts, and this is true. The first day that it starts, you'll realize that this is different from anything that you've ever studied. Everyone has been mesmerized by Sheikh Waleed so far. Sheikh Waleed rocked the house during our first full day of the seminar. Inshallah, this is going to be one of Al-Maghrib's most well-attended seminars, hands down. He attended the first Rays of Faith seminar when it was taught in Memphis, Tennessee, and how true it was when this seminar would later on become one of Al-Maghrib Institute's most well-attended seminars. As you saw the slide, over 900 people attended it in Toronto. Alhamdulillah. Another testimony, because this class really does have the ability to change lives. Alhamdulillah. One of the sisters, she has a testimony that says, I have changed my way of memorizing my Quran, and I have actually think about Judgment Day a lot. What if I die right now is always in my head. I'm doing a lot more dhikr. So alhamdulillah, Rays of Faith changed my life. Another student says, this class is absolutely amazing. The Sheikh's style, his recitation, his sense of humor, the stories, the topics discussed, the group activities, everything, mashallah. Some people registered and paid full price to take just the last weekend, the weekend on the Day of Judgment. That's how good it was. As well as one sister, says Sabir from Sacramento, she says, this was my first introduction to Al-Maghrib, and alhamdulillah, my faith is at a different level now. I always loved learning about our deen, our iman, but this course was something absolutely unbelievable. As another student has said earlier, I can list the ways I have changed, but the one I want to focus on most is that now I focus on my salah much, much, much more. Alhamdulillah. This course pulls at the heartstrings and draws tears from the eyes. It is irresistible. Take it. That is all I'm going to say to anyone who hasn't, and watch yourself change and love your deen even more. MashaAllah, it's a beautiful class. This was said to be from Sacramento. As for my testimony for this class, I will tell you that no matter how much you've studied with regards to aqidah, you will walk, as Sheikh Waleed mentioned, with regards to the differences of opinions of the scholars. You'll realize the amount of differences of opinions, and you will walk in thinking that something is 100% true, and Sheikh Waleed will show you differences of opinion. And you'll walk, it's a humbling experience, actually. It's a humbling experience. You walk in thinking that something is 100% black, and Sheikh Waleed shows you that it's a little bit on the gray side. So Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Waleed, for opening our eyes to the amount of knowledge and the amount of scholarship in this class. So Sheikh, I believe you have something that else that you would like to share.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Actually, I just have a short reminder. And this reminder comes in a time where I feel so many people maybe need these words. I noticed that we're living in a time where a lot of people struggling with their life, if I may say, struggling with themselves to be happy. Happiness is something everybody pursued, everybody looking for it. To the extent 16,000 people were asked about happiness, and guess what? There is more males happy than females in general. But what was interesting, how those 16,000, and they're very general mix from different backgrounds, how they defined happiness? Like 31% said in love. 29% said when you're content with what you have. 18% said if you're healthy. 7% said if you are married. Marriage is happiness. 5% said money. 3% said happiness only can be existent in the childhood. But after you become an adult, there's no more happiness. 2% said happiness only come when you're traveling. When you come to where you live, there's no more happiness. I was looking into this subject, I was thinking about it, and it comes to my mind a wonderful verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنْشْرَحْ الصَّدْرِ, and another word, is making you happy, to live a happy life. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one of my favorite upon you, that I made you able, or I made you living a happy life. You know this verse, Alam Nashrah Sadrak, at the beginning of Surah Al-Nishrah, that's right? Surah Al-Nishrah comes right after what? Wal-Duha. And some of the companions, like Ibn Mas'ud, used to consider these two surahs one surah. And even in his Mus'haf, he will not count them as two surahs. And he will not recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in between them. He will continue after the last verse in Surah Al-Duha, after that he will recite the first verse in Al-Nashr al-Sadr as its one surah. Because it's the same meaning. And he said they are all together, revealed together. Yes, that's his opinion, but it's not a correct opinion because the ijma, the consensus of the Sahaba later on, went against that by basically putting in Mus'haf Uthman the Al-Nashr al-Sadr as a separate surah. But here the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, I have found you dallan, a'ilan, and Ya Muhammad, I found you yateeman, orphaned, and in need, and also confused. And I have guided you. I made you not in need of anybody. I have basically have given you the love and the support that you don't feel anymore like any orphan who was raised without his basically parents. And one of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned it here, that I have made you to live a happy life. So happiness is something from Allah. That's why if we really pursuing happiness, if we want to live a happy life, we should look for this happiness from the right source. You know, I agree, money, health, marriage, all this will lead to happiness, but they are not happiness in itself. Love, all this will lead to be, maybe it will lead you to be happy, maybe not. Because there are so many people in love. Actually, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, most of the time, loving anything in this worldly life will lead to alam, to pain. It's not really leading to, even if we love like somebody so much, sometimes this love can bring pain to the person. But the real happiness, it should be taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who owns it. He is the one who gives it to whomever He wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The real meaning of happiness in ibadatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever made a righteous deed, a female or a male or a female, while they are believer, Allah promised them that they will live in goodness. حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, happy life. In this dunya and in the akhirah, Allah will reward them with the Jannah, where people will be happy forever, where their happiness will never have an end. It's not like the happiness in dunya. It's never been all the time happy. Sometimes you're happy, and sometimes you're not. But believers in general, the real meaning of happiness, they find it by coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have faith and their heart content and rest, basically in peace, when they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring peace and tranquility to the hearts. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said for the believer, للمؤمنين. Allah sent the Qur'an down, and in Qur'an, healing, mercy for the believer. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Al-Abrar, righteous, in Na'im. And Allah didn't specify where or when. The ulama said it's general term, in dunya and in akhirah. It's not like al-fujjar in Jaheem, يَصْلَوْنَهَا يَوْمَ الدِّينِ, that they will have go to the Jaheem, to the punishment, to live in misery in the hereafter, because maybe a kafir will not live in Jaheem in this dunya, but definitely in the akhirah he would. But as for the believer, they have to be in Na'im. Inna fi dunya jannah man lam yadkhulha lam yadkhul jannat al-akhirah. Some of the scholars said in this dunya there is jannah. If you don't enter it, you will never enter the real Jannah in the Akhirah. The Jannah, which it means the paradise of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The happiness that happened to your heart by coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you hear the Prophet saying to Bilal, أَرِحْنَا بِآيَا بِلَالِ وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ فِي مُسْلِمِ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدُ وَالنَّسَائِي. Qurrat ayni. What's qurrat ayni mean? Al qurrat al ayn, it means that tear that comes down from the eyes whenever you will be so happy or content with something. When you see somebody you love so much, this tear comes out of your eye. That's how the Prophet said, this is the salat to me. Whenever I enter the salat, I'm so happy, so content, so relieved. Arihna bihaya bilal. It brings peace to my heart, to my mind. That's the real happiness. That's the real happiness. It is something inside your heart. And whenever you know that you are content with what you have, and you also, because of that, willing to sacrifice, willing to give, willing to compromise, and to live your life as a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم فلهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. Those who believe, those who have faith, and they have not committed any form of shirk, any form of ظلم, they have أمن and they have هدايه, two things. And these two things, أمن, security, هدايه, guidance, are in the various levels. It's not one type of security, it's not one type of hidayah, guidance. It is so many levels. And basically, you will get the level that you deserve based on how much you're going to fulfill the first two conditions, which is, آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم. As much as you have a strong, pure faith, and you stay away from all kind of ظلم, which is start with shirk, major shirk, minor shirk, major sins, minor sins. As much as you stay away from all these, as much as you go up high in Amin and Hidayah, as much as the guidance and the security will be so much. What prevent us from being happy? Why so many people not happy? I believe number one reason for so many of us to lose happiness at certain time or moment or a time in our life, sins. Every sin that you do and you commit and you insist in doing it and you're not quitting doing it and you know it's wrong and you keep doing and looking the other way and just keep doing it and keep doing it. Following your desires. This is will make you a slave to your own desire, a slave to the shaitan. And I will tell you something from now. A shaitan does not offer the happiness. He only offer people, tempt people, trick people, lead people to misery. He does not offer people happiness because when you don't have something, you cannot offer it. He is himself not a happy creature. That's why when you became a slave to your own sins, to your own sinner soul, to your own devil, you not live in a happy life. تأس عبد الدرهم تأس عبد الدينار تأس عبد الخميصة تأس عبد القطيفة تأس وانتكس وإذا شيك فلنتقش. I know maybe so many here don't speak Arabic, but just listen to the word. I'm going to say it again. See how just by saying it, you already, you know, feel bad. Just by listening. تَعِسَ وَانْتَكَسْ وَإِذَا شِيكَ فَلَنْتَقَشْ. So strong words. Why? Because this is the slave of his own desire. The slaves of the mummy. The slaves of the shaitan. هَرَبُوا مِنَ الرِّقِّ الَّذِي خُلِقُوا لَهُ فَبُلُوا بِرِقِّ النَّفْسِ وَالشَّيْطَانِ. We all commit sins. Does that mean nobody can be happy? No. Whenever you commit a sin, whenever you do a wrong deed, rush and run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back to Him because He knows that we are weak. But you know the happiness that you're going to feel when you repent to Him, it's unmatched. It's unfounded in any other areas. These tears that comes in the middle of the night when you raise your hand and you said, Ya Rab, I'm coming back to you. I'm submitting myself to you. I'm asking your forgiveness. This is real happiness come to the heart. You remember one time? Have you ever had this moment with yourself and you remember something bad you did? And haram earning that you earned? An injustice that you have done to somebody? A bad words that you have said? And a pleasure that you have fulfilled in haram, desire that you followed in haram, now after it's gone and you remember it, how do you feel? Sad? Mad at myself? Depressed? Because sins will never bring happiness. One of the things that prevent us from being happy, when a person is envious. Envy. Envy is anti-happiness. When a person is envy, is envy others. This is the worst. This is Iblis. He envied Adam how he was living earth and staying earth. It is the attitude of the kuffar. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Envy is the quality of the disbelievers in every and each nations in the history of humanity. With envy comes another reason for many people not to be happy. Greed. Greedy person will never be happy because there is no end for it. There is no end for it. And this greed is terrible. At-Tirmidhi reported that the Prophet ﷺ said that Jesus, peace be upon him, Isa alayhi salam, sent once one of his followers to purchase, give him money. And he said, go buy for us food. So he went and he purchased food. And among the things that he purchased, a loaf of bread. But he ate that loaf of bread in his way back. Then Jesus asked, where is the loaf of bread? Who ate the loaf of bread? He said, there are no loaf of bread. Nobody eat loaf of bread. Then he said, you sure? He said, yes. He went in his journey. Several things happened. It's a long narration. Then every time Jesus keep asking, I ask you by the one who did this or did that, who ate the loaf of bread? And he keeps saying, why do you keep saying that? There were no loaf of bread. The man is lying, basically. Then they pass by this treasure. Gold, diamonds, silver, you name it. Then he said to the man, who ate the loaf of bread? He said, why you keep asking this question? I answered you. He said, because whoever ate the loaf of bread, God told me that he deserved this, basically a treasure, goes to him. The man immediately said, I was afraid to tell you the truth, but you're a prophet, you know. So you know what? I ate it. I'm the one who ate that loaf of bread. He said, this is money goes to you, but you cannot travel with me anymore since you commit that sin. He left him with the gold and the jewelry and the diamonds and the silver. And all of a sudden, robbers saw him. He's unarmed. They killed him next to his treasure. And they sat and took out how much gold that they have in this chest, in this big chest. Then three of them got hungry. They said to one of them, why you don't go purchase for us a loaf of bread? He said, sure. He went, and in his way he said to himself, maybe they're plotting against me. Let me plot against them. And what he did, he put poison in the bread. I'm sure he was correct. They were plotting against him. The moment he came back, they jumped on him and killed him to divide the gold two halves. They did, but also they ate the bread, and they were all end up dead, four of them next to this treasure. Asa told his companion he was passing, coming back. He said, that's what greed lead to. This is dunya, and this is greed. Greed will never make anybody happy, will never make you satisfied with what you have. One of the things also, and it's very important to notice this, one of the reasons a lot of people are not happy, or they cannot be happy for a long time, because they get bored very quickly. They don't want to have any kind of routine in their life. They cannot enjoy any routine in their life. Yeah, I know change is always good. That's why there is change. I mean, it's good. Imagine if we all look alike. I mean, that's boring. That's right. Imagine if all days are the same. Or day or all the time. There is no night. Imagine if all the earth looks the same. It's boring life. There is a change. But there is people are obsessed with that. Change. That they keep changing everything. Even some of us, when we teach our kids, we keep changing toys very quickly for them. And we develop that on them. That they cannot enjoy what they have. They just constantly want to change what they have. And I believe this is not a very good idea. Not a very good idea in the way that you basically treat yourself. You need to learn how to enjoy what you have. So when you get something new, you also will appreciate it. Also, one of the reasons that so many of us don't feel happy in their life, because some of us have this problem, which is conspiracy theory. He lives and everything there's a conspiracy behind it. Those people are never going to be happy. You know what? Yes, there is somebody plotting against me. Somebody making magic against me. Somebody is watching me. The government is after my tail. You know, the IRS is doing this. They are envying me. They did this. They did that. Okay. And even in da'wah, this group, this part, those people, this doing this to us. So I will never enjoy what I'm doing. And this is not a right way. Not the right way in dealing with life. It's only going to make you unhappy person in your life. If you want to get rid of this way of thinking, have trust. Have trust that any good work, if you care about it, if you are sincere in it, if you put effort in it, it will never be wasted. Because at least it will be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes and out of Allah's generosity and justice that will not let it go to waste. Some way, sometimes, somewhere, people will benefit from it. I think sometimes one of the reasons that we don't be happy, we're not happy in our life, we cannot enjoy happiness, fear. Sometimes even we're afraid to lose happiness, so we end up not happy. Everything, do this, no, I'm afraid. Do that, I'm afraid. A fear which lets you do things you don't like, and will prevent you from leaving things that you don't like, because of fear. One of the things also prevent us from taste the real meaning of happiness when you are very materialistic. When you get the money, and this is money using to make yourself happy, make sure that you know that this money, you got it not like Qarun said, إِنَّمَا أُتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. But you, when you get it in your hand, you remember that's from Allah. And Allah is the real owner of it. A lot of time we're not happy because we surround ourselves with people who are unhappy. If you hang out with people who are happy people in general, you will be happy. If you find the people around you have always smiley face, you have a smiley face. If your wife, when you enter the house, or your parents, or your children, or your friends, or whoever you're living with, your roommates, when you walk into the house and they are very happy and smiley, you will be like that. But if they always worry and stress, you'll be like that too. You'll be like them as well. I think when you live for yourself, your happiness will be very limited. But when you live for others, when you are generous, you'll be a very happy person. In general, generous people are very happy. Misers, stingy, they are not happy people in general. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that miserness, it's like a rope or a dress made of iron. Every time there is an opportunity for a spending comes, and you don't give, this iron vest or clothes will come tight on you, squeeze you. That's how the Prophet ﷺ described it. So what kind of happiness can come in such situation? I think sometimes we're not happy because we're very pessimist. We always look to the dark side. We always see the naked, the wrong, the no, the la, the bad news. I don't try to look to the bright side. I don't try to look to the good. I don't deal with life with optimism. So many times, opportunities comes in front of you. I guarantee you something, my brothers and sisters, listen to me tonight. If you don't learn how to grab these opportunities and to use them to make yourself happy, you will live your life as an unhappy person. One of the reasons that we're not happy, and so many times, we don't take advantage of these chances that happen or in front of us. Take advantage, yeah. You have a day or two you can spend with your wife. Take advantage of it and go to the closest city. Go spend it in a hotel with your wife. Go with your kids to have fun. Take advantage. You have 1 hour to spend with your wife, with your family. Go do it. You have 5 minutes now in your time. Take advantage of it. And you know what? Make that phone call to your mom. Say, you know, Mom, I love you, and I just missed you. And I say, thank you for everything you did. Take advantage of every opportunity. You have an opportunity to make a business, go ahead for it. And believe me, if you don't learn how to take advantage of the chances that comes in front of you, and you learn, inshallah, in rays of faith, that al-qadr, that the iman, the certainty that it will come to you by believing in the predestiny, should motivate you to take advantage of chances that it comes in front of you, if they are halal and if they are sound, my brothers and sisters, the real happiness in ta'atillah subhanahu wa ta'ala is started with and coming closer to Him, knowing Him, running towards Him. It is in your good manners, in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with His creations as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ta'ana yakum min as-su'ada, make us all happy. And yani, I have chosen this topic because I believe this is one of the results, happiness, one of the result, one of the outcome of the correct belief in the concept of al-qadr, one of the outcome of the correct belief in the Day of Judgment, and to make you happy in this life, and to make you among those who have inshirah al-sadr in this dunya, which is something nobody can take it from you. Happiness in the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jannah wa iyyakum among those who are happy one in the dunya and in the akhirah. And finally, my last words, I want you to leave you tonight with it. I want to tell you that this class that come into your city, make sure that you not only take part of it by coming and attending, make sure that you bring your family members, your friends, people in the masjids, bring them with you to the course. Make sure that they don't miss this opportunity. It's a gathering where people gather to learn something beneficial. And make sure that you invite everybody you know, because that's what we talk about. Take advantage of this chance. Don't let it go without grabbing it and benefiting from it. So make sure that you come, inshallah, on the coming class. And you know what? Make the commitment from now. Go ahead and register. Go register yourself. Even if you register somebody else, and you know what? This is the best gift you can give it to somebody and to encourage him. And I say that in each and every class, and I will say it in your class when you come, inshallah. It's not about my class, his class. It's not about this class versus the other classes. No. It is a long-term commitment. It's a process that each piece, each class, is basically a piece of this puzzle. It's called Al-Maghrib, that we all belong to and we love. And I mean by belong to and we love it, because through Al-Maghrib, we were able to establish and accomplish a lot of things. And we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thankful to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He allowed us to establish such organization. And it's only was established by the blessings of Allah, and through your work, your dedication, and attending and coming to the classes. So make sure that in return, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a practical format. Not only we should deep in our heart be grateful and thankful and we're admitting and believing that it's from Allah. We're saying that, and we thank Him in public and in secret, as I'm doing right now. But there is one more thing to do, by actions. And the way to do it by your action is to support us by coming, by bringing more people, by giving us advice, by giving us idea, by being part of this family. It's the philosophy of Al-Maghrib. It's a family-oriented, basically, a gathering. We are all brothers and sisters. And it's also a conservative environment to help us to grow our iman, to grow our faith, to based and founded in ilm and knowledge. So our iman will grow and will be yani founded in a very strong foundation, which is al-ilm. قال الله قال رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And also, Al-Maghrib also, it's based on hospitality. It's about hospitality, welcoming others, welcoming people. A lot of people, even sometimes from non-Muslims, come to some of the classes. We welcome everybody. We open our arm to every brother and sisters, regardless where you stand, very close to us or very far from the deen, or very far from some of my ideas and views. We believe when it comes to the classroom, when it comes to the knowledge, we are all there for one purpose, is to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to learn a beneficial knowledge from our instructors, which wallahi, mashallah, a group of brothers and sisters, very hard to find similar to them in any other institute, and they are the backbone of our institute. Jazakumullah khair jami'an. With these words, I come to the end of my program tonight. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykhna, for that that beautiful khatir with regards to happiness. There actually, we have a few more moments so that we can take some questions. Shaykh, you began, or you ended your discussion speaking about Al-Maghrib Institute. And at first, I want to kind of combine a couple of questions that were directed with regards to Al-Maghrib. Shaykh, first is, if I could combine them, it would be that one, Sheikh, an interesting question is, you particularly, Sheikh Wadid, you have the ability probably to teach with regards to, from the teacher side of it, to teach in any institution they would love to have you, whether it be in the U.S. Or whether it be overseas as well. Why particularly did you choose Al-Maghrib's platform to be the one that through which you teach?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Actually, alhamdulillah, I've been teaching and having courses before Al-Maghrib was even established in the United States, and after it was established and before I joined them. And after even I joined Al-Maghrib, alhamdulillah, whenever I found, I love teaching. That's something I love to do. You don't know, how early I start teaching. I started teaching at a very, very early age. And I used to teach people, their age is literally triple my age when I was like just a kid. And because I love teaching, and this is something I love to do. And I love to teach adults, subhanAllah, grown, brothers or sisters. So that's something I love it. So when I came to Al-Maghrib, I found in Al-Maghrib something amazed me. Something goes with what I was dreaming of, which is, how can I reintroduce the ilm of the Sharia, the fiqh, the aqidah, the hadith, reintroduce it to people in modern days in a way where they can relate to, where I can have the environment, the setup, ready for them to observe and to understand the deen, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ilm, and also this ilm will make sense to them. It will be represented to them in a way will be attractive. And that's what I found in Al-Maghrib Institute. And I found a group of brothers and sisters just blow me away, really, when it comes to the administration, very nice, very cooperative. You really feel like you are part of the family. I never felt I'm an employee. I never felt I felt like I'm part of the family. I have an ownership of this institute the moment I joined them, even before I joined them. I've been always, alhamdulillah, welcomed by them. But this is all one thing, and what I'm going to tell you now is this other thing, which is the Amir and the Amiras, the staff of every and each qabilas. I think they are reason number one to make me more committed than ever to this institute. The volunteers that they have put in so much effort, dedication, work in this course, they are the one who really keeping me going. Because through them, I get to see the students. I get to see the communities. And I get to see communities from another perspective. I've been to cities, Chicago, Los Angeles, California, Sacramento, several times with Adhan al-Maghrib. You know, Virginia, New York. But al-Maghrib have shown me the best of New York, the best of Chicago, the best of Michigan, the best of so far, alhamdulillah, of these two, Houston, my own city even. And al-fadl lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awalan, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then really to those amir and amira and staff and volunteers that they put this class together. You know what, you're doing an awesome job if you can hear me. So keep the good job up. Jazakumullah khair.
Like the Sheikh mentioned, with regards to the cities and the hospitality, alhamdulillah, the way that these are the actual seminars that are happening, you should see them up on your slide at the moment. Chicago, Illinois, Ottawa, Ontario, inshallah, and Dearborn, Michigan. This class, Sheikh Wadid spoke about today, is going to be coming to those cities in double weekend format. So they will be coming, inshallah, and it will be an intensive class taught Friday night, Saturdays, and Sundays, inshallah, for 2 weekends in every city. And like the Sheikh mentioned, with regards to hospitality, people come from all over states surrounding. Some people come from international destinations as well to come and attend those weekends in those respective cities and in every class in every city that Al-Maghrib comes to. I have a secret as well that I want to share for those who are in attending, inshallah ta'ala. If you see the enroll button on the screen, you see that there is a link for almaghrib.org, and it takes you to the enroll page. For those, as a special jazakumullah khair for those who attended tonight, if you click on that screen, you will find it will take you to the enroll page. But the cities through which this class is coming, their price is at our discounted rate of $135. Normally, to get the discounted rate, you have to get into what's called a group of 10, in which case you have to find 10 other students who are all going to be paying $135. But today, inshallah, as a thank you for those who attended with us tonight, some people, mashallah, Sheikh, are up in the UK right now. For those who are attending, those, inshallah ta'ala, you can purchase a special discounted rate without having to get into a group of 10, without simple individual payment, inshallah, for tonight alone. So, inshallah, make sure that you take advantage, like the Sheikh mentioned, to take advantage of opportunities. So take advantage, register tonight, make the payment, special discounted rate tonight, for tonight, inshallah, for those who are attending the Umrah. Sheikh, two more questions, inshallah, before we are finished. The first is, with regards to the topic, one sister asks, what faith really means? What iman really means in Islam? And how does one apply faith in the best way to please Allah Azza wa Jalla?
The word faith in Islam is a translation to the word iman. Iman in Arabic language, it means at-tasdiq al-jazm. When you basically believe in something with certainty. But this word, the technical definition of it, the word I believe in something, I know for fact, for certainty, it's true. that knowledge in itself is not a faith. It is part of the iman. Because just believing in the heart will not make you a believer. For instance, we all know that Iblis, the Satan, knows for sure that Allah is Allah and the Creator and the one who deserves to be worshipped. Does anybody doubt that? And he swear by Allah, and he said, "Inni I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment." Everybody knows. So he has that certainty, he has that yaqeen in his heart, that Allah is Allah, and he's the Creator, and he's the one who deserves all of this. And he has the hellfire and the paradise and all this. But that didn't make him a believer. Okay? And Musa told Fir'aun, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنْزَلَ هَؤُلَىٰ. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Musa told Pharaoh in a challenging way, you knew that these signs that I brought were sent down to earth only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, see the word that you use, basair. Very clear, something you can, as if you see with your own eyes, that it is from Allah. You have certainty. You know that it is from Allah. So, but he doesn't know, he's not a believer. He's not a believer. So, what is iman? It is just words that we say? Hypocrites are, in this case, believer. They say words, they never believe in it. So, it's not only words, it's not only something that's in the heart, what's left is also actions. It's a combination of these three things together. That to believe in La ilaha illallah, with certainty you know for sure that he's the only one worthy of worship. And you testify that by saying it, which is testimony, shahada, then you act upon this. That's what makes you mu'min, believer. That's why we say, Shahadatu Allah ilaha illallah. You know the word shahada in Arabic language. It is, you cannot be considered witness on something unless you know it for sure, you are certain about it, and you say it. Can you imagine a witness is staying at home, he never went to the court? Can we call him a witness? No. Unless he comes and basically, well, testify to say. That's why saying it part of the iman. Third, if this witness, while testifying something, then he act against it, his testimony will be invalid. That's why a shahada, the word shahada in Arabic language, indicate that iman has to be made out of three things. Certainty in the heart, amal al-qalb, and al-lisan, tongue, to say it, and the third one is the actions. So, in order for you to achieve, there is something called basics in each one of these three levels. And there is minimum, but also there is يعني, no maximum in the Sharia for it. That's why the iman people are on a different levels as well. This is just a basic answer. This topic, inshallah, the topic, the definition of iman and how can we define it versus what's the difference, sunnah and versus kufr, hypocrisy, shirk, and all these things is going to be, inshallah, in an upcoming course very soon. And it's going to be a divided course, half and half, between me and Sheikh Yasir Qadhi. And it's going to be, inshallah, the next Aqidah course.
Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, this year, Sheikh? This year?
We're not sure yet. It's one of the... Did I just tell you a secret, guys? I think it's
yes,
okay.
I think you just did. So I'll try to get a little bit more information. Jazakallah khair. So you heard it here first at the Al-Minar, inshallah. New Aqidah course coming soon, inshallah ta'ala. With regards to, like the Sheikh was mentioning earlier, with regards to arriving at these cities, I'm receiving a number of questions asking, is it going to be coming to this city or is it going to be coming to that city? I would say take the class in the cities that are available. The way that it works is that if a class comes to a specific city, it doesn't come back to that class. So people are asking me about Toronto. People are asking about Columbus, Ohio. These classes have come to these locations already. So your best bet is to simply depend on Allah Azza wa Jal and go to the nearest cities, inshallah. I know, for example, with regards to Columbus, there are going to be people who are going to be leaving in droves, in cars and caravans to go attend the class in Chicago. So if you have a question with regards to where this class is going to next, or if it's come to your city, or if you want to be linked with information with regards to the classes that are happening in those cities that are up on your screen, then email info@almaghrib.org. That's info@almaghrib.org. almaghrib.org, inshallah ta'ala, with your query, and it will be responded to, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah.
And also, one more thing, if you go to the forum, which is something I would recommend you to do, go to the forum if you want to talk about where, how is the hospitality, where to stay, all those things, with regard to the cities. Let's say you're going to Chicago. Go to Chicago, their website. Okay, Qabilat Wasat, in the forum, I mean, in the forum. And you will see always link about Rays of Faith, hospitality, who's coming out of town, where to go, where to stay, what kind of things we can offer them. Brothers and sisters, sisters take care of the sisters, brothers take care of the brothers. So you're going to Ansar, Michigan, you're going to Ottawa, Ottawa, or you're going to Michigan, whatever you're going to go, Etihad, you all basically find always in the forum people talking about those who are coming from out of town, what kind of accommodation that they have recommend for you. So go to the forum. Also go to the forum. There is a special thread about or talk to, go basically to the forum where Rays of Faith. You will see the testimonies, the people's experience, and you will read questions, things about to prepare for the class, references for the class, and things like that. So make sure also you be active more in the forum, and this is something will really connect you more with other students as well.
And the site for that is forums.almaghrib.org. It's forums, F-O-R-U-M-S. almaghrib.org, and that's the student forums for Al Maghrib Institute, and you'll be able to access and contact all of the students, inshallah, through that vehicle. Jazakallah khair, Sheikhna, for the presentation.
Okay, you guys have a great night. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, a final reminder with regards to registration for this class. Tonight and tonight only, inshallah ta'ala, there is going to be special discounted rates. So make sure, inshallah, to register and pay for the class. And if you have any questions, like the Sheikh mentioned, direct it to the Al-Maghrib forums or email info@almaghrib.org. Jazakum Allah khair. This session, inshallah, will be replaying tonight. This session will be replaying tonight on ilmunar.com, so you can access it as well later on tonight. Jazakum Allah khairan. And if you have any feedback with regards to tonight's session, please feel free to email it to ilminar@almaghrib.org. That's ilminar@almaghrib.org. Jazakum Allah khairan and have a good night. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.